Before we dive in this morning, let's just have a word of prayer. Let's just ask God to speak to us through his eternal word. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you, Father, that in all the issues of life, Father, you are the one who can solve our problems, answer our questions, and give us confidence in the face of whatever comes. Lord, we praise you for that. I just ask, Lord, that you would just work now in our hearts, in our minds, give us clarity of thought, give us the ability to communicate well, I pray. And Lord God, I just ask that you would touch our hearts, Father, that we would leave this place, Lord, with the confidence to live life well, to live life for your glory, and dear God, that we might be comforters, Lord, of others who are in the struggle just like we are. And Lord, I pray these things now in Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things real fast before we get going and rolling is last week we had a chance to take Father's Day pictures with families. And we know that was kind of sprung on you a little. It was a good surprise. But some of you maybe didn't get a chance to do that. So Sarah Latta-Boson is going to be back there today. Father's Day part two. So we'll get some pictures. And I just encourage you to check it out. I know we got it. We'll be displaying those coming up around the church and whatnot. And we'll give those over to you in a digital form as well. So it's just a nice thing to share as families get together, especially after a long 15 months of not being together, be able to rejoice with each other. Second thing I want to mention to you guys is it's going to be 96 degrees today. Wow, pretty hot, right? So I want to encourage you, or actually somebody correct me, it's going to feel like 96. It might be like 89, 90. So I just want to encourage you, as you guys come to church, I know some of us wear ties, you know, and I grew up with that. I'm used to doing that too, you know, in jackets. And if you don't want to do that on a Sunday, for the rest of the summer, you don't have to do that, right? And that, by the way, you don't never have to do that. So I want to encourage you. I'm going to take mine off because I'm hot too. You guys, you know, just come and relax. And Jonathan's going to, he's going to press it for me while we wait. But we are looking forward to what God's going to do. And God can speak through his word no matter how we, you know, are dressed with our little sporty shirt or we have like our suit on. And if, by the way, some of you guys I know, if you take the jacket off, it's like breaking the law. It's okay to keep it on, too. It's all right. So let's dive into God's word this morning. I want to talk about the church, God's gift of grace. We've been looking at a number of things. And today what I want to focus our energy on is, you know, I want to praise God for the confidence of grace. And we said this in our bulletin this morning. It is a rock-solid confidence that we can have in the Lord. And everybody look up and just stop and think with me just for a second. Think about that phrase, confidence of grace. What am I talking about? Here's what I want to say. You know, so many of us, we worry about our salvation. We worry about doing this or doing that or all those kind of things that happen. Sometimes we fall into sin. And I want to say to you, God wants us to live a righteous life, but you know what? When we're God's children, our salvation is guaranteed. Our inheritance is guaranteed. There is nothing that we're going to do to cause us to lose it. There's nothing that we can do to cause us to lose that. And we didn't earn it. We didn't pay for it. We didn't do anything great to get it. It all came as a gift from God because of his grace. And that's why we can have a confidence in grace. And I want you guys to think about this with me this morning. Does God ever change his mind? Think that. Does God change his mind? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Says this in the book of Malachi, it says, I change not, therefore you are not consumed. And I saw some of you go, yeah, God changes his mind. God will relent when our hearts change of maybe what he's going to give us. But if God saved us and God chose us, he's not going to go back and repick and pick someone else in our place. Does that make sense? So we can have this great confidence in who God is. So we're going to dig into that a whole lot today. I want to share with you guys just a couple of things, and I called it warranty information. You know, we've all had issues with warranties and guarantees. And I want to think about three words: grace, blessings, and guarantees. And just kind of jot these down in your notes. Our PowerPoints are available as well. But it just says this, you know, it says, these are some of the things that make our situation great because we know the Lord as our Savior. Number one, I'm chosen by God. We're chosen by His grace to be holy and blameless. And everybody look up. That's not going to change. No matter what you do, it's not going to change. And that doesn't make us want to go out and sin wildly or with, you know, wantonness is the word people say. But it's not going to change. We can't lose that. We're an adopted child of God. That's God's loving choice. When God decides, that's what it is. It doesn't change. I am redeemed. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a son. Everybody look up. Sin's power is broken. Sin's power is broken. I can put myself back under sin's power. I can choose to sin. I can choose to do those things. But sin's power over me is broken. The law's power is broken. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But thanks be unto God that we have what? The victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is already done. I am forgiven. We talked about this past week. Sin's penalty is paid. Everybody look up. The Lord did not write a rubber check to pay for our sins. It's not going to get, when it gets presented, it's not going to come back. It's not going to bounce. God's not going to change His mind and say, send that money back. You know, it's done. Sin's penalty is paid. And I am an heir. I have all the privileges of what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. So that's huge, right? That's kind of who we are. That's our warranty. Let's just understand that situation. Second thing, just real quick, I want you guys to think about with me for a minute. And by the way, this week was so helpful in kind of fleshing this out in so many ways. But just contemplate for a minute the security, safety, and guarantees that we have here on earth. Think about that just for a second. You know, do you guys feel safe on earth? Do you feel secure all the time on earth? And I thought about it in different ways. Think about your financial assets, the financial markets. There's a word that people use in the finance industry, it's called volatility. The markets are up, the markets are down. You know, what's good for Main Street isn't good for Wall Street. What's good for Wall Street isn't good for Main Street. And I'll stop and think about that. Think about right now. You know, many people are still suffering. Wall Street is booming. It doesn't totally make sense. There's a disconnect there. You know, and sometimes the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And our financial markets are not something that we can, you know, totally rely on. It's a good thing to invest for the future. It's a good thing to have insurance. Those are all good things. But, man, it's so important to have the best insurance, and that's a relationship with the living God. You know, I thought about, thinking about our hard assets. You know, those are the things that are tangible, like our, like our cars, our homes, you know, those kinds of things. Aren't they just, like, they're fraught with peril, fire, accident, theft. And I was thinking about this in terms of insurance. You guys, you ever think about your insurance policy? Take out your insurance policy if you get a chance. And the vast majority of your insurance policy is what they will not insure. It's really true. It's called exclusions. There's more exclusions than there is inclusions. And praise God, that's not how it works with the Lord. How about our health? You know, we can do everything that we can, and we should, by the way. We should try to be as fit as we can. We should try to, you know, eat well, you know, and you know, control things that we can control, our diabetes, other things. We should do that. But you know what? This year proved, you know, we can't fight genetics, can we? Can't fight that, totally, right? You know, we can't fight, sometimes cancer happens. Be it an outside force or a genetic issue, it happens. You know, we can't overcome that. It's an unpredictable thing. COVID, there's a lot of healthy people today that are in eternity because of COVID-19. They never planned on dying last year. the never plan. They're young, old, all across the spectrum. Our health is so fragile. There's such a fragility to our health. How about on the political scene, the world scene, national and global politics and security? You know, we have all kinds of domestic issues, and we saw our country split in all kinds of ways last year. We struggle with that. Things are a little more calm now. But then look at the world today. Think about, you know, we have Putin. We have Iraq. Iraq just elected a new hardline leader who is giving out demands to the rest of the world about nuclear weapons. You know, think about China. I said it twice. Think about China again. Think about Korea, North Korea. How about Israel and the Palestinians? Did you watch when they bombed each other's civilians? It's unbelievable, right? There's no guarantee about life on Earth. How about other disasters? Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornado, fire, collapse, and all other issues. And you guys, pray for the people in Florida. Can you imagine at 2 a.m. the building that you live in collapses, implodes down to the ground? How does that happen? You know, and stories are coming out, the bolts were rusty or all these different, you know, things that maybe were going on for a long time. But I say this to you guys, there isn't a whole lot of guarantees here on this earth. And I want to just say it, I want to underscore it. Not much security on earth. And I'll throw this out. Doesn't that make you anxious? I shared this last week. I think 2021 was probably the most anxious year I've ever had. And I'm not really an anxious person. But it's just an anxious time. And I want to share with you guys. Some of you guys heard this already. That's our old sanctuary. This past week on Monday, you guys can see the bricks that are falling off the wall. We actually took them down so they don't fall down this past Friday. But this past Monday, a young person, and praise God, she's okay, drove into our parking lot, wasn't feeling well, passed out, and drove into the building. Unbelievable. By God's grace, she's okay. We had the fire department, the police department, EMS, and praise God, she's good. Her car hit the wall, bounced back, and came laid to rest in the woods. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, today, Terry and others kind of, we fixed up that wall so it's safe, door opens and all those things again. And, you know, we'll wait for the contractor to come and fix us up. Thankfully, the brick wall is only a facade, so it didn't damage the building. And that building was built, what they say, back in the day with 3-inch wood, lumber. It's amazing how strong it is. So, you know, I just say this as we think about kind of thinking through our thoughts today. Bible says this in Matthew, it says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, and Jesus talked about that a lot, right? And that's not the main gist of our message, but we got to focus on where can we place our confidence? Where do we get our confidence to live life? Jesus taught it in Luke 12, you know, the parable of the rich fool, the parable of the guy with many barns. He wanted to keep building up, but he didn't think about eternity. And I want to just kind of twist, take our minds and let's kind of focus on this and get this through our minds this morning. Not much security on earth. That's why this guarantee from God is so great, so significant. And I want to kind of dig into that this morning. I shared with you guys the map last week. You know, the Ephesians, they're over there on the west coast of Turkey, facing Greece, a wealthy city. And these folks, they feel like just like us. They understood the insecurities of life and the challenges of life, and they were looking for that same confidence that Paul gives them as he writes to them. So all that being said, I want you to write down our eternal truth this morning. Get this in your minds. We want to live and we want to praise God for his guarantee of our salvation. And I want to throw this out. Get this, because two things here. We want to live in light of the fact that we have a guarantee. I don't want you to be afraid to live life. God doesn't want you to be afraid to live life because your eternity is sure. It's guaranteed. It's sealed. And I'll throw this out. We just kind of put this kind of the way to underscore, kind of indicate this a little bit more. understanding that when we get our identity, that we're chosen by God, that we're God's children, that we're heirs, and we understand our riches that God has given us, redemption, He's given us forgiveness, and we understand our security, it is literally a life-changing perspective. And God wants us to live life that way, like the Apostle Paul. He would do anything because he knew God was in control and his salvation was absolutely solid as a rock. And I want us to kind of get a hold of that this morning as we kind of dig in a little bit. So I want to take a quick step back. That's where we were. That's our memory verse. I'll just remind you. How many folks, by the way, have put that in your memory? That's a low number. It's the easy one, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And kind of get that down. And what that tells us is that's our riches. That's our identity. That's who we are. Remember we talked about we have an identity crisis? There's a solution. So kind of get that into our minds. That's something good to hang on your bathroom mirror or somewhere in your house to kind of get it through our minds. The second one, and there's a card out there today as you came in. Hopefully you got one. The second thing we want to commit to our memories and understand is that we can have confidence. And as Ed read the passage, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're going to explain that this morning. So let's just jump in this morning for a second. And I want to talk about this from a perspective that we kind of understand. I called it warranty information. And this is of the life-changing variety. I'll throw it out to you. Everybody look up for a second. How many people, does anybody keep like a binder of warranties? Anybody keep those? Some of you guys do, right? Some of you guys probably don't know where the paperwork is. Anybody like that? You know, I'll share with you. We got a couple things way back, and my parents might remember this, but my grandmom gave me and Jane a couple of, like, appliance-type items. And it was kind of so cool because it was packed in the box, the warranty book was there, and the receipt was taped on the box. I wish we were that good. I wish we were that good. But what I want to say as we look at this passage is God is, and God doesn't forget. So if you lost your warranty papers, God's got them. So I want to take a step for a second, and I want you guys just to kind of get a hold of this. We're going to show this again, so don't worry. But this is kind of important because this is the God who guarantees our warranty. I want you to get this thought in your mind. Who's the giver of the warranty? And by the way, does that matter? You know, if you took out a dollar bill a long time ago, or you may have heard this phrase, you know, our money is guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Isn't that right? And you know what? The rest of the world, when things get crazy, when things get bad, guess what the rest of the world does? They go out to the financial markets and they buy U.S. Treasury bonds because that's probably the safest place to stick your money even better than your mattress. Because the U.S. government guarantees it. Now, we want to take it a little step further. We have an even better guarantor, and his name is God. And I'll throw out, many of you guys remember this. You remember that back in the day, if you bought insurance and you bought Prudential insurance, what was their slogan? You got a piece of the rock, right? Well, let me say this. When we have God as the guarantor of our spiritual inheritance, we got the whole rock. He's backing it up. He's going to make sure it's okay. The guarantor matters. You know, I used to work for a life insurance company called Penn Mutual. And back in the day, our slogan was, behind your independence stands Penn Mutual. Our building was right behind Independence Hall. That was the slogan. The bad part is the company moved to Horsham, Pennsylvania. So I'm not sore. No, I'm only kidding. The company's really still strong. But isn't that kind of how it is, though? You're like, you're not sore. Who's going to stand behind what I got? You know, how many times have you taken something back to Walmart and you go, oh, I don't know. You know, praise God for Home Depot. They take everything back. They're like a little thing, like, you know, kind of like a little image of who God is. So I want to share with you guys real quick. We'll just jot these down. We'll give you a second chance in a minute. But the giver, right? God purposes these things for us. In other words, God in his mind said, you know what? I am going to give those people that were believers at First Baptist Church eternal salvation. God's mind doesn't change. God plans. He predestines. God makes the events happen so that you and I get saved and our salvation is maintained. God picks. He chooses us in love. God purchases us. Jesus dies. He pays the penalty for our sin. God pulls us, or God draws us. John 6:44 says that, right? It says that no one comes unless the Spirit of God does what? Draws him in. God protects us. He seals us. We're going to look at that in just a second. God is pleased. This passage talks about the pleasure of his will. God's satisfied with saving us. Can you imagine the God of the universe is like ecstatic because we are part of his family. And God's praised eternally because of his grace. And I want to stop and think about this. By the way, Cindy, great music this morning. Praise team, great music. We praise God passionately, I hope, because God has done the impossible and it's for us. That's how it's supposed to work. So that's kind of the giver, who he is. If you didn't get it all, don't worry, I'll come back. Check out this passage. This is the whole passage. And you might want to jot this down. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, this is one of Paul's, it's one sentence. Paul writes these sentences. I remember back in school, I would get in trouble. I'd write these long sentences, and I'd have all these commas in there, and they'd say, wrong, 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 wrong. It looked like my paper was bleeding from the red X's all over it. You know, but Paul writes this kind of sentence, and he talks about God's grace and who God is. And I want you to get a handle on this. This is why you can be confident in your salvation, in your inheritance, in all the spiritual blessings that God has given you. You know why? Because you didn't do nothing to get it. And I want to check this out. I don't know if you can see this, but if you can't see it, take out your Bibles. Look at the passage. And I did it two ways for you to understand. Sometimes it's hard to see the screen. In yellow is the us or the we or the you. And in every case, we are the recipient. We don't have... And what I want us to understand, and when we think about this, and again, here's one of the challenges in church, is that we judge each other. We think we're better because, you know, I didn't sin like that. You know, or I'm better because I don't do this, or, you know, I don't go there or do these things. But what God wants us to understand, everybody get this in your mind, that the whole transaction of salvation, you and I have nothing to do with it other than take it. Do you remember that illustration back in the day? I remember hearing about this or seeing this, that they would say, hey, you know what? When you're trying to talk to someone about Jesus, you're trying to share with someone the hope that's in you, you'd say, you know what? You just got to take it by faith. And they would take out their car keys and they would say, you know, it's kind of like this. If you go out in the parking lot, my car is out there. I got this key. Here it is. Here's the key fob. The insurance card's in the dash. The registration's in the dash. And if I give you this, it's yours. What's the person got to do? Just take the keychain. Just take the key. And that's all we have to do with salvation is take the gift by faith. Trust God. God did everything else. There's nothing more that had to be done. Jesus' last words on the cross were what? Three words. What were they? It is finished. There's nothing more to do. There's nothing more to be done. There's nothing that you got to do to get it other than take it and run. And that's what God wants us to understand. So as I look at this whole passage, this incredibly long sentence from Paul, it says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what, he's the one who acts. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But notice, by the way, it's in Christ, in him, Jesus, it's all those things. He's the agent. He's the one. And everybody, what did we do? Everybody say it with me. Nothing. We just took it. Nothing. And that's why your salvation is sure, because if you had to do something, I had to do something, I might not be able to keep on doing it. I'll throw this out. How many people said, I'm not going to sin that way before or anymore? You said that, here's a sin in your life, and you say, oh, you know, I'm never going to sin that way again. Anybody ever say that? Be honest. Right? We have, right? And by the way, how many of us sin that way again? That's why we can't rely on us. That's why I can't rely on us not to sin. That's why I can't rely on us to be good. How many times have you said this to yourself? Be nice. Be kind. Don't say something. Close your mouth. Just listen. Don't be argumentative. How many times have you told yourself that? And how many times have you gone the other way? Because we can't rely on ourselves, but we can rely on the guarantor, God. And notice it says, he chose us in him. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. His grace, he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of whose grace? His grace. You know, he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. And then here's the rest, a couple more, rest of that passage. And again, he goes again, having made known to us, he told us about salvation so we could get it, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. He purposed in himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather us together in one things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained, in other words, we're the benefactor, the recipient, an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard, in whom also you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So everybody look up. I put this at the bottom. You know, this, by the way, Cindy, this would have been a cool song. You know that song? That's why we praise him, and that's why we sing. Because there's no Gary up there. There's no anybody up there other than as a recipient but God. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything to earn or get this incredible gift that God gives us. So that should change. Now, I want to throw this out. Is there any other religion in the world that you could think of like that, where the God just gives it out, just gives it to us? Everything else is work for it, earn it, keep the law, do this, do that, do penance, do all those things. And God says, you know what? Just take the gift. It's on me. And that's what God wants us to understand. By the way, some of you guys are maybe in your minds, because you grew up maybe in like a legalistic background, you're going, ooh, I'm a little bit scared. That means these Christians, they're going to go out and they're going to be wild. No, when you really know God and you really accept that free gift, that spirit comes in, and it's not comfortable being wild anymore. You can do it for a while, but you won't be able to do it perpetually. And if you try, God will take you out so you can't keep on doing it. So that's something important to keep in our minds. So I want us to kind of get that idea in our minds, and I put this back up in case you didn't get your list, right? God purposes, God plans, God picks, God purchases, God pools or draws, God protects, God is pleased, and God is praised eternally. And I want to throw this out. If you didn't get all those, take a second and get them. But letter I is the big one. Here's the key thought. Why is Ephesians so important to us as a church? Because that is our foundation. And it's our foundation. And I said it here. we are humbled, realizing God has done everything, and this differentiates Christ's church forever so that we practice grace. So when anybody else walks in here at the First Baptist Church, they should never feel like they're out of place. It's kind of like if you walked into an emergency room and you have blood all over you, they don't say, excuse me, you're too much of a mess, go over there. The Church of Jesus Christ is a hospital of grace. You come as you are, you bring your mess, God fixes it. We can't fix sin without Jesus. We can't fix mess without Jesus. There's no other way to do it than by the grace of God. So I want to challenge us as a church. People come in all kinds of ways, all kinds of dress, all kinds of sin, all kinds of issues, all kinds of trouble. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ welcomes them in because they're just like who? Say it loud with me. They're just like us. You know, I'll throw this out. By the way, a lot of us, we've been real good at kind of like covering over our sin. You know, we look good in our dress, or we know how to sin in the darkness and not have it come to light for a while. But you know what? God wants us to be that church that has the foundation of grace, that everyone's welcome, everyone's savable, everyone's changeable, because God is great and he's the giver to everybody. Does that make sense? That's why this foundation, I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. Is that the church in America? Does it feel like that? In a whole lot of places, the answer is no. A whole lot of places, you gotta walk the right walk. You gotta, you know, talk the right talk. You gotta look the right way. You gotta have the same haircut. You know what? God doesn't care about any of those things. God just wants to save you by his grace. And again, that's foundational. And if we want to see people one to Christ, that's got to be the foundation at 216 Sunset Road. You know, we don't give anybody the side eye because they look a little different. We're just glad they came in, because the emergency room is open today. And by the way, our church, our emergency room is open just about 7 days a week. We give out a lot of food, give out a lot of stuff, but the emergency room is open. If people there's need, and by the way, here's the funny thing. Suppose Pastor Gary's not here. The doctor's not, he's gone. Could you guys help the patient? Amen, right? Because what do you tell him? You tell him how God saved you. I believed and I took it because God did it all. Right? We got all kinds of physicians here, and we got the great physician who healed us. Right? And that's what God's looking for in us today. So I want to kind of dig in just for a second this morning. Look at the verse real fast. You see this process in verse 13. And I want you to get this in your mind. The whole Godhead is at work in salvation, right? God the Father chose. Jesus died and rose again. The Holy Spirit draws. The Holy Spirit seals. The Holy Spirit empowers. The whole Godhead's at work in getting us saved and getting us changed. And you see it there. It says, in the verse, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were sealed. So there's this process that happens. We hear, we trust, and then what happens? The Holy Spirit seals us. And by the way, that's the big thing of the day today. What's this all about? He seals us. And there's a Greek word there. Esphragistate is the word. And he seals us. By the way, it's in the past tense. It's like a done deal. Once you're sealed, you can't be unsealed. You know, seals in that day were you often used on a document. It was melted wax. And it sealed the document together. We read about that in Revelation a lot, those seven seals. That idea of that sealing, it gives us a couple of things that we want to get a hold of. One, it authenticates who we are. You know, I read Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and verse 16. Verse 16 says this in the book of Romans. It says, his spirit confirms with our spirit that we are the children of God. Right? It authenticates us. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. You know if you are a believer. You might have some doubts, but you know if you're a believer, because the Spirit of God is authenticating that in your heart. You know it by the guilt you feel when you sin. You know it by the fact that you want to cry out to God. It says this, we cry out in that same passage, Abba, Father. We cry out, Daddy, to God, help. That's not normal unless you're a son or daughter. So he authenticates us, Romans 8, verse 9 and 16. It evidences our ownership. That Holy Spirit, he seals us. It helps us to know he owns us. And the passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, I'll just share it with you. It's not going to be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 6, it just talks about the fact that we are owned by someone else. And it goes like this. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And he talks about that. And, you know, the context of that is the area of sexual temptation. But he brings that up and he says, you're authenticated. The Spirit evidences your ownership. You know whose you are. And that's the key thing. And here's the thing I want us to get our arms around today. It secures and protects us. And this, by the way, is so important. Everybody look up. This point about the fact that your salvation is secure is a watershed huge issue in the life of believers. Because if you think you can lose your salvation, it's going to change the way you live. If you keep worrying about that all the time, it's going to weaken your ability to share Christ. It's going to weaken your ability to live. You're always going to be afraid. You're always going to be trying to be on your toes. You're not going to be the person that God freed you to be. And God wants you to be that. So we have this security and protection. You know, a couple verses, John 3:16. What's that say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Like everlasting life doesn't mean if you do something, it means you have everlasting life, period. It wouldn't be eternal or everlasting if it wasn't eternal. You know, and we read John 10, and I want to put this up on the screen in Romans chapter 8 and Jude 24. I want you guys to get a hold of this with me this morning. I want to wrestle with this just for a second. Jesus said this to the Pharisees in the presence of the disciples. Listen to what he said. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, by the way, does that define us? Do you hear God's voice? By the way, I'll throw this out. Doesn't mean you always listen. Doesn't mean you always obey. Hopefully, you should, and I should too. But you hear God's voice. And because God knows you, you seek to follow God. All of us as Christians, I know folks right in our presence today, they struggle sometimes to follow God, and they're upset, and it's unnerving, and it's scary, and it's all those things. But we seek to follow God. When we know God, we're going to seek to follow him, and we're going to know when we don't, and we're going to feel bad, and we want to change it. We're going to feel that guilt. And the answer isn't fix the guilt. The answer is fix the follow. You know what I mean by that? The answer to guilt isn't take a pill. The answer is follow God. Fix what's wrong. Don't just fix the symptom, right? And he says this in this context, and he says, and look what Jesus says. He says, and I give them eternal life. Get that down, right? He gave us eternal life, and he says, and they shall, read it for me. Never perish. Is there any possibility of perishing? You may have heard this before, famous passage. When you're a Greek student in Bible college or seminary, they always look at this passage. John is a great place to start. But there's actually a double negative in this passage. And that's the idea that you will never, never perish. You know, in English, when we do a double negative, it cancels out like mathematics and makes it a positive. In the Greek language, it just like super strengthens this fact. You cannot perish. You cannot be separated from God. And it says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And I want to say this. Our salvation is so sure, no one is going to pull you away. No cult, no other preacher, no other teacher. They're not going to pull you away if you really know God. They're not going to. It's impossible to do that. I'll throw this out. Why is that? Because your heart that was dead, and we'll look at that in Ephesians 2, has been made alive, and it can't be dead anymore. It's like trying to be unborn once you're born. It's not possible. Nicodemus wrestled with that in John chapter 3. And he says here, he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Everybody, do me a favor. Everybody, don't hit your neighbor, but put your arms like this for a second. Stretch for a second. Don't poke anybody in the eye. Good, good, good. Got y'all woke up for a second. Now picture this. Here's the picture, he says. There's God's hand, there's Jesus' hand, and you're in the midst. Is anybody jumping out? The Lord, the Son, the Father. That passage, you can jot it down, it's called the two-fisted grip on salvation. I like that, right? Jesus, God, I'm not getting out. And by the way, some of you said, well, people renounce their faith. You can't jump out either. If someone really is truly saying, I'm not a Christian anymore, once you're really born again, can you be unborn? Once you step foot on earth, is it possible to go back in the womb? No. It's possible maybe they were never born, but it's not possible to go back. And he says this passage, he says, I want you guys to understand, that's your security. That's who you are in Christ. No matter what, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter what you doubt, that's who you are. Be confident in that. And by the way, what a great thing it is to live with confidence, isn't it? And I want to share with you, look at the next verse. By the way, all the way at the end of the Bible, right before Revelation, Jude, by the way, was written against false teaching. And false teaching would say, oh, I don't know, you might lose your salvation. Anybody ever heard that in a church? If you don't do this, you're going to lose your salvation. That's a form of controlling the members. But God says, you know what? Salvation's from me. It's not about what you do. And the Holy Spirit's in you, and he's going to compel you to follow me anyway. But look what Jude says. It says, now to him, this is like a benediction of prayer. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He says that's who God is. He can keep you faultless. He can keep you just where you are, securely in your salvation. And let me say this, everybody look up. That's what sealing is all about. It's all about authentication. It's all about, and we're going to see it here, it's coming up, ownership, and it's all about security and protection, unlike anything we've ever seen before. So, last thing, the guarantee. Because not only the Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And I want to just pick up the verse. Notice it says in verse 14, and let me go back in my Bible in Ephesians, it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So what's he saying? Here's the guarantee. First off, the Holy Spirit, he is the guarantee. His identity, he's called the Holy Spirit of promise. We don't have time to look at all these references, jot them down, or you can take up the notes. Isaiah said that in 32 and 44. Ezekiel said that. Joel said that the Spirit of God was going to come. He's going to do these things. Luke 24, John chapter 16, the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of promise is this person. That's the one who guarantees it. His role, and I want you to understand, it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Here's what the Holy Spirit is. And I want to ask you guys a question. It's a test. Everybody look up. Here's a test. How many Christians have the Holy Spirit? All of them, right? The moment you got saved, that transaction took place, you got 100% of the Holy Spirit. We're not looking for a second greater filling. We were filled up all the way. The question is, do we always listen to him? That's a different issue. But we have all the Holy Spirit. He's yours. He's mine. So his role, when we got him, and by the way, when did we get him? We got him the moment we believed. And here's what the Holy Spirit represents. The word here in the Greek language, it says he's our guarantee. In the King James, it used this word. He's our Earnest, E-A-R-N-E-S-T. And we don't mean the name Earnest, but the idea of an Earnest is the Holy Spirit is a down payment. And he's an unrefundable down payment. So if you're a born-again Christian, if you believed, you got the Holy Spirit as the down payment. And when you get the down payment, what does that mean? The rest is going to come. And I'm going to throw this out. How many people ever bought a house or a car? What'd you have to do? What'd you do? You got to put a down payment down, right? Here's $100. Here's $1,000. Why do they do that? Because everybody says they want that car or that house. 99% really don't want it because they find another one and they go, I don't want that one anymore. But when you put down that cash, when you put that earnest money down, it's yours. You want it. That money is non-refundable. That money can't go back. The Holy Spirit that you got the moment you were saved, he's the down payment that says God is going to deliver on all the rest. He's going to make sure you get all of your inheritance. Your mansion in heaven or your dwelling place in heaven in John 14 is secure. It doesn't matter what you do. You got it. You own it. It's yours. And that's what he's trying to say here. His role is the earnest money, the down payment. He's like a first installment. And you guys understand this. When you put down a down payment, $100 might not be so much to some. But when you put down $1,000 or a couple thousand, you're pretty reluctant to back out, right? Well, imagine this with the Lord. He gave one member of the Trinity to you. He's not backing out. Your salvation is rock solid, as we say. The timing, and again, his phraseology is a little challenging. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Everybody look up. That's kind of, what does he mean by that? We talked about redemption last week. That means we've been bought out of the slave market, a marketplace of sin. But we're not fully redeemed, right? Because we're still walking on earth. And I don't know about you, but I sinned this week. Anybody else sinned this week? A couple, one or two of you. Okay, that's good. Right? But here's the challenge. We're not there yet, right? We're not totally where we need to be yet. We're not in heaven yet. We're not involved in that total inheritance yet. So the timing says this. He says that God has redeemed us until the purchased possession, until we get it all. And let me phrase this in a different way. In other words, everybody look up. In other words, he didn't save us until we sin real bad. He didn't save us until we have a doubt. He didn't save us until something happens. He saved us until the end. And he's in control of that. Our salvation is rock solid. Peter says this. Check out what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look what it says. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And get this part. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So everybody look up. Who's keeping your salvation going? It's a three-letter word. God. Do you have any part in that? Nope. That's why it's secure. That's why it's foundational. That's why it changes our lives. And I want us to kind of really, really get a hold of that this morning. So we're done. So what do we do? How do we respond to this warranty? Where do we sign up? What do we got to do now and going forward? Here's a couple things. Here's our takeaway. This kind of warranty gives me five things. Here they are. One of them is peace to live. Remember Jesus said this? He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. They must have been at First Baptist Church of Willingboro. We know what that feels like. But he gives us peace to live. He gives us the power to live. Because that same Holy Spirit that seals us is working in us day to day. He gives us a proclamation. Remember, it says this in Peter, always be ready to give what? A reason for an answer, for the reason of the hope that's in you. Here's your proclamation. Here's how you share Christ with someone. You know what? The world's falling apart, but I got something that will never, ever, ever be taken away, and that stabilizes my life. And it should bring praise. Man, we didn't do anything to get this, and God gave us all. And lastly, and I said this a couple of times, right? Foundationally, it gives us perspective. We as Christians can never look down our noses at anybody who darkens the door of our church or some other church or seeks to come to Christ, who is kind of messed up, who still has all the stink and the stench of the world on them. That's okay. Come on in. Because we're the ER. We're the ER. It changes our perspective. And I'm going to throw this out. If the world began to feel like this is an ER, not a country club, we might have to beat them away from the door because there'd be too many inside. A lot of the world feels like church is something they don't really want me. They judge me like everyone else. They hate me. They hate who I am. They can't wrestle with questions. They can't struggle through things with me. The world's like, man, I get that anywhere. But the church of Jesus Christ, as I read Ephesians, is a different kind of place. It's a place where grace is primary. It's a place where grace lets everybody in and opens them to what God can do in their lives. So I challenge you. I don't know where you all today are today, but maybe you need to get that grace. Come on in. Believe. Jesus is the Son of God. He died to pay the penalty of your sin and your rebellion. And you know what? Let's model that message to others as the church of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. It's powerful. It just, Lord, is life-changing when we begin to understand what we have in you, who you are, and how we can have assurance and security no matter what comes. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and our minds this week. Father God, change us, Father, to be humble, to be servants, Lord, to be your redeemed people that walk out into a world that so much needs your power, your love, and your redemption. Lord God, work in our hearts today. Lord, if there's anyone who's here, Father, help them to just speak to me or speak to someone after church if they really don't know you or have that assurance. Lord, I pray that they would talk to one of us even now. And Father, I just thank you for the things that you're going to do, and I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're about to dismiss. We don't have a closing song today, but I want to remind you guys a couple of things. If you want to get some pictures for Father's Day, part two, jump right in where the old library was. It's all set up for you. Take a moment to greet each other. If you didn't sign in today, just sign in on your way out. We just want to know who's here in case anything does happen on a COVID way. It also helps us to check how our folks are doing, if anybody has needs. So we hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the sunshine. And we hope to see you guys at prayer meeting on Tuesday and back again as we fellowship on Wednesday. Have a great, great day. Take a moment to greet each other this morning.